Okay. All right. Let's try this again. This understanding of the Bible, the gospel of Christ, gives you the power to save your souls. Romans, the first chapter and the 16th verse. And I also told him that I wasn't going to be too loud. So Miss Jackie said, you know, Keith, you got a big mouth, so try not to be too loud. So push that down a little more. Only if you accept it. The Bible also says that Christians will be rewarded. Hebrews 11th chapter and the 6th verse says that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. God, the Bible also says to remember God's saving grace. Remember, God's saving grace can only happen while you are on this side of judgment or while you are living. Noah had this same type of love for people when God, who gives a perfect example of true love, asked Noah to tell the people that a flood was coming and the only way to be saved was to get into the ark. Even then, only 8 souls listened, and only 8 people were saved. 2 Peter, I don't know. Give me a brief moment here. I'll get it all together. This is what age will do for you. 2 Peter, the 2nd verse and the 5th chapter, the 2nd chapter and the 5th verse says, "And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Let's consider the pros and cons of the flood for a brief moment. But before we go there, that reward given to those who love the Lord can be found in Revelations, the 21st chapter, 10 through 27. And I'm going to ask that we read verse 27. 10 through 26 is actually, it's beautiful. It starts to describe this beautiful place that people who love God are going. It starts to tell us about how the streets are paved with gold. And I think he uses this to try to attract us. We as people love things. But I'm going to ask that we only read the 27th verse. And it says, only those that are written in the Lamb's book of life are going there. Only those that are written in the Lamb's book of life are going to heaven. This is only one of the rewards. Let's consider the pros and cons. Back to Noah. Let's consider the pros and cons of the flood for a brief moment. The positive things about the flood: God promised salvation to the people that got on the ark. I would imagine in the ark it was comfortable, food, and worship to God. Now, the negative things about the flood: outside of the ark, destruction for not listening, raging waters, not being able to swim good enough to stay afloat. The water was probably cold. The people had a clear invitation for safety. They had a clear invitation for safety. I really don't think that the people truly believed that this great destruction was real. And Brother Jared, I got to mark this time, so I'm going to say that clock. Yep, okay, because I do not want to hold you too long. I don't want you to give me a bad name here. So, okay, it is now. All right. The people had a clear invitation for safety. I really don't think that the people truly believed that this great destruction was real. I would also imagine that some people believed but probably decided not. Now, I'm going to ask that you, this is off the record here. This imagine is something that I'm drawing up. This may have been just watching a lot of TV and television. You start to imagine what probably happened during the flood. But I'm going to ask you that you take this off the record. You strike this. I would also imagine that some people believe that, but probably decided that I will build my own boat just in case there is a flood. Just in case Noah was right, there may have been a number of boats, small and large, sitting around in backyards with different designs, plans that didn't include gopher wood. Or maybe they had outboard motors, open tops, not designed according to God's instructions. I would imagine there were fence straddlers, those that, you know what, they wanted to believe, but they say, well, you know what, Noah may have been onto something. He might be telling the truth. So what we'll do, we'll live close. So if it starts to rain, we'll just make a mad dash for that ark. And I imagine there were those that were fence straddlers. They know what they should have done, and they had some type of a belief that Noah might have been telling the truth. I would imagine there were those. They may have believed but didn't want to put in the work because of their own selfish desires. The Bible does say, back on record again, we're back on here. The Bible does say that they were an ungodly people. This last paragraph was just my imagination. Now, I want you to know most of that is something that was not recorded in the Bible, so keep that in mind. The outboard motors and all of that was not recorded, so do not ask me where that's found. But what the Bible does say is that only 8 people were saved, Genesis 6. Today, we Christians, because of love for people, we too follow God's instructions, just like Noah. Christians extend a similar cry to the world. Get in the church that Jesus built, the church that Christ died for, the church that is designed by him. You will be lost if you don't. You will be denied eternal life in heaven. There are so many scriptures that say that you need to be sitting in that seat every Lord's Day. Matthew's the 24th chapter, the 37th through the 39th, says that just like it was in the days of Noah, many will not believe or be dedicated or love God the way he deserves to be loved. Some may ask, why are you in this church? There are close to 45,000 different types of church. I actually Googled that, and Google told me that anywhere from, it was close to 45,000 different denominations. Can you believe that? I can't tell you what to do, but I think that the first attempt, one of the first attempts of including more than one type of church is recorded in Matthew's the 17th chapter in the first, Matthew's the 17th chapter, the first through the 8th verse. And we'll turn there. That's a beautiful story, a true story of Peter having a very good thought. And we're going to turn there, Matthew's the 17th chapter, the verses 1 through 8. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, see, Peter had a very good idea. Between you and I, you know, I think he really had a good idea, but it's not up to me. My instructions is to follow God's word. Whatever he tells us, that's what we got to do. And let me lower this. I'm still too loud. There we go. Let's try that, Brother Jonathan. All right. So it said that Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, Let us make here three tabernacles, or three churches. But it says tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And you gotta think about it. Moses was a great man. But Moses did as we do. He followed God's instructions. Elijah, he was a great person. But Elijah, the same thing. Whatever God told him to do, that's what he did. While he yet spake, while Peter was yet talking, while he yet spake, behold, a great cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. So here, what I see is an attempt to have more than one to go to. But God was not pleased with that. He was not pleased. According to the Bible, the next great destruction will be fire. Mark 9:43. And it says that there will be fire. And we won't read that just for, like, you know, the time's sake. Now let's look at the, let's travel into the future and look at the pros and cons of the destruction by fire. The positive side: Judgment Day. Ooh, we Christians that have obeyed and did God's instructions, they Judgment Day, because you selected to be a member of the church. Comfort, fellowship. Happy you made the effort. The reward John talked about in Revelations, the 21st chapter. Worshiping God. Now, outside of the church, Fire, screaming, crying, sad that you knew what you should have done, but did not make the effort. Out of the 168 hours, and I want to throw this in, out of the 168 hours, you didn't take the time to come to worship 3 hours out of the 168 hours God gave to you. But now, I don't want to, everyone here is here, because you are serving God. So the one that I may be talking to may not even be here. But I must say, I don't know the situation. Some are sick. Some have to work. There's so many reasons. But within your heart, you know your situation. This love, let's get back to the lesson. Someone asked me what the lesson was, and I told them that it was on love, Brother David. It's on love. I guess you said, Keith, you're far off track, but I'm going to try to get back on track. This love we have been talking about was requested by the Apostle John in 1 John 4:7 and verse 16. Beloved, it says, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. The 16th verse says pretty much the same thing. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. The Bible says that I am commanded. Another example of love, another thing that we are commanded to do. God, the Bible says that I am commanded by God to love you, 1 John 4:20 and 21. The 20th verse says, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, brother or sister whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. The definition of love that I want you to see, love the people as God loved the people. Tell them about God's instructions. Be more than hearers only. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Another example of love, I must tell you this story, that's one of my bad habits. That's why I write this down, because I have a bad habit of just going, just going off track. I must tell you this story. Last Sunday, Jackie and I were approached by beautiful Christians, and they said, come to the feast. The table now is spread. This is true fellowship. That is true Christian love. This is being done by every Christian in here, showing love. I could spend the remainder of the day talking about what a blessing it is to be here among Christian brothers and sisters here at this congregation. Because of time, I better keep moving here. I cannot make you love me, but if I want to have eternal life, I have got to love you. God will not make you love and obey him. But if you want a happy ending after judgment or after your life has ceased, it might be a good idea to serve God properly. Another commandment concerning love was recorded by Moses in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter in the 5th verse. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Is this even possible? Is this even possible in this day and time when everything has got to be for our own instant gratification? Is this even possible? The Bible today is clouded with so many worldly distractions, making the Bible sit on shelves, collecting dust. One way that I can't tell you what to do. Your day, your 24 hours are cut different from my 24 hours, but one way that I handle all of the things that so easily distract, I set a time frame every day to read my Bible. I normally pray constantly during the day because there are so many things and people that need the attention of prayer to God. We got to remember to take time to study. Some of the reasons that I wrote down a few reasons that we should be studying, and that is gaining knowledge of directions to heaven. We're not going to have Google. It's easy today. I don't know how I made it to point A and point B, from point A to point B long time ago with just that map. But now all I do is just peck it in and it say, turn this way. And there again, Brother Townsend, I even don't even listen to it sometimes. It says rerouting. Apparently, you know, I have a hard time paying attention because it'll tell me that 3 times. I'll keep going and it'll say, rerouting. It just keep trying to take me to the right location. So gaining knowledge on directions to heaven, directions for eternal life is another reason that we should be reading and studying the Bible. Example of what was approved of God in the past. Most of all, how to love one another. Reading and studying is nourishment for our spirit. Just like food is nourishment for the body, and to really get the optimum advantage, we have got to study. Do you know that we would perish if we only ate one meal a week, no matter how healthy? The Bible recommends reading and studying daily to have a clear picture of the map to heaven, and so that your spirit will be prepared to deflect false information. I put that false information in there because there are a lot of things being said today that are not recorded in the Bible. And if you're not reading, you will find yourself going in the wrong direction. We need to be reading every day or at risk diminishing the spirit. And please always remember that you are being watched. God is watching you always. According to the Bible says that everything, whether good or bad, is being recorded. A strong, healthy spirit increases your love for God and put you in the shadow of the cross. The Bible also says, whatever choices you make, be ready for the consequences, whether good or bad. My advice to everyone is please, please read and study your Bible. You not knowing or you not understanding God's instructions is not an option. Christ also says that you are to love your enemies. Now that one is a hard one. We sometimes have trouble loving our sisters and brothers. I grew up with four sisters, and they made it hard. Brother David, they made it hard to love them sometimes. But according to the scriptures, and they're not even my enemies. But, well, let me get back to the lesson here. Matthew 5, 43 through 47. Romans, the 12th chapter, 9 through 21, says, let love be without dissimulation. Do you know what dissimulation means? It is the act of concealing one's true thoughts, feelings, motives, or character under a false appearance, essentially acting like a hypocrite. It involves hiding the truth to deceive others, often by maintaining a pleasant or indifferent demeanor to mask true intentions. The Bible also says in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 14th verse, that for the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ controls us. Our love for Christ makes us want to serve him. It makes us want to tell others about him, and it makes us want to do the right thing. All right, Brother Townsend, you make sure I'm on track now. I don't want you to, I'm okay? Well, Brother David, I'm okay? I'm all right? Okay. All right, now if I go over, you can blame other people now, so. But anyway, and I must tell you, I wanted to jump past this. I read this, I read a lot, and I was reading this article one time in the newspaper, and it was the comedy section, and the funnies. It showed these two guys in a boat, and what I'm getting at on the trying to fool people with your demeanor by smiling. It showed these two guys, they were sitting in a boat fishing, and both of them were smiling at each other, and one of them was saying, oh, I'm having, the bubble over his head said that he was thinking, I'm having the best time fishing with my friend. And over the bubble on the other guy's head, it was saying, I can't wait till we get around this corner, I'm going to throw him out this boat. But they were both smiling. So one had good intentions, and the other one had intentions that weren't so good. But back to where I'm supposed to be. The Bible also says in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 14th verse, that for the love of Christ constraineth us. Do you know what's good? It's not the best, but what's good, most people are doing a large percentage of what God has asked. Luke 18:18 through 23 is the story of the rich young ruler. And I think you know the story. Because of time, we will not turn there. And matter of fact, I may have to cut this short. Jackie said, all right, now you better behave. They're going to pull you down. They're going to sit you down. You won't be able to get back up here. And I enjoy it. But I still got to get used to everybody. Once I get used to everyone, I'll probably do what I need to do here. But anyway, the rich young ruler, if you remember the story, he wanted to be with God. But God, he said, I'm doing everything, and I won't take the time to turn there, but take the time to read that, Luke 18:18 through 23, the rich young ruler. And God, Jesus told him that you lack one thing. And if you remember, he was a very wealthy man. And because he was not able to give up his money, he decided, well, I'm just going to walk away. You told me that I can be saved, but I have faith in my money. Most people believe that Christ is the Son of God. Another thing, most people are willing to call themselves Christians. Most people hold to the fact that the Bible is the Word of God. The sad thing is they tend to leave off some of the things God requires. Like upon the first day of the week, assemble. You have got to worship, want to worship God every day. We are commanded to come together every Sunday. Let's think about this. If you don't desire to meet every Lord's Day, what do you think is going to take place in heaven? Let's think about this. If you have problems getting up, oh, it's time to go to church. Oh, I don't want to go. What do you think is going to be going on in heaven? You're not going to be sitting around watching the game. You're not going to be. You have got to start. God is not going to snap his fingers and you are going to instantly want to serve him. That's not the way that works. You must already desire to serve the Lord. This is one of the reasons God is going to save you, because you were dedicated to serving. And because of time, it is time, isn't it? I'm so sorry. I had like 10 pages. And I knew I wasn't going to be able to make it through because I don't know how to stay on track. I am truly sorry. But I am going to start to wind down because there will be other days. And Jackie always tells me that, Keith, if you can't say it in 20 minutes, you can't say it. Then, you know, in 10 hours, it's going to be the same thing. So do what you're supposed to in that brief amount of time. But anyway, I must extend the invitation. And we have heard it hundreds and hundreds of times. Hear God's word, believe God's word, repent of your sins, confess, and be baptized. Is that too hard? That's not hard at all. And continue to live, just follow God's instructions. No shooting, no robbing. You know, those are things that, with that, we're going to ask that everyone stand, and we will now have the invitation song.
Stand together and sing number 400.